If you want to know what is really happening in the world today, you need to read the Parsha HaShavua, the weekly Torah reading. Join Rabbi Mendel Lipska for the next hour as he delves and enumerates the themes running through the weekly Torah Parsha, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
And a wonderful Erev Shabbos to all of you. Great to be back. Haven't been here for a couple of weeks. Went overseas in Boston, celebrating the bar mitzvah of a grandson. And, well, I can't say enjoying the freezing weather, but surviving the freezing weather and glad to be back here in sunny South Africa. It's a wonderful Shabbos, the Shabbos, a Shabbos that's blessed with three important things. The parsha, of course, is Mishpatim. And Mishpatim is an important parsha because it gives in great detail so many of the laws that govern the life of a Jewish person. It gives it in great detail because life is experienced in detail. When there is no detail in life, life, unfortunately, can often become rather meaningless, but more of that a bit later on. It's also Parshat Shkalim, the first of the four Parshiot that we read before the festival of Pesach and Purim. The first, of course, being Shkalim. When we read the portion of how Hashem instructs Moshe to tell the Jewish people that each person must give a half shekel, and this is the way they had the census counting the people, but more important, the fact that it had to be a half shekel, not a full shekel. And then, of course, it's Shabbos Mevorchim, Chodesh Adar, tomorrow at Shul, we'll be blessing the month of Adar. And the month of Adar is not only the last month in the Jewish calendar of the months of the year, but it's a month that introduces tremendous joy. Mishenichnas Adar, Marbim Besimcha. Our sages tell us that when the month of Adar comes along, we're instructed not only to be joyous, but to increase our joy. We have to be joyous at all times. Ivdu Sashem Besimcha. We are told that we have to serve God with joy. And not only that, when we don't serve God with joy, we read elsewhere in the Torah that, unfortunately, God rebukes us. And Adar tells us, Marbin Besimcha. In addition to the joy that we have to experience normally on a daily basis, when Adar comes along, we have to add, we have to increase. And every time Torah tells us to increase, it means beyond any type of limitation. Because increase means increase and continue to increase. And we have to understand, how is that possible? If a person is already serving God with joy, what does it mean, marbin? What does it mean to increase that joy? And the Rebbe tells us something very interesting. When different things come together at the same time, important things come together at the same time, although each one has to be understood on their own, because each one contains profound insights, the fact that they come together at the same time has to be understood as well. Why do they come together at the same time? The Parsha Mishpatim, very important on its own. Shkalim, also equally important on its own. The fact that we blessed a new month, important on its own as well. This year, the three come together. And we have to understand, what lesson can we learn from the fact that the three come together? And in order to do that, we have to understand each one individually. And then what is the synthesis? What is the coming together, which gives it an altogether greater purpose and meaning? We speak about the month of Adar. Mishenichnas Adar, Marbim Besimcha. We have to increase our joy at a far greater level. We've often spoken about joy. Joy is not only fun. Fun is something which is transient, shallow. It's something which satisfies a person perhaps for a moment at a very shallow level, but is gone after a moment. True joy penetrates the heart, the mind, the individual at a very deep level. it brings about a tremendous sense of purpose and satisfaction. Joy is not only a sense of happiness, it's a sense of profound purpose. And the question is, how do we achieve something like this? And not only that, but in increased measure as well. Our sages tell us something very profound. Ein simcha ki hatarat hasfekot. There is no greater joy than the annulment or the removal of doubt. Doubt is confusion, uncertainty. A person doesn't know. A person doesn't know which way to go. A person doesn't know what to do. A person doesn't know their future partner in life. A person doesn't know what road to take in life. A person wakes up in the morning, is unsure. What's the direction he should take today? Doubt is one of the most, unfortunately, one of the most debilitating factors in life. Clarity, certainty. This is something which gives an individual tremendous purpose and direction. And not only that, but gives them a sense of inner joy as well. Our sages tell us, Ein simcha ki hatarat hasfekot. And the word safek in Hebrew has the same gematria, the same numerical value as Amalek, the arch enemy of the Jewish people. And we know who's the villain in the whole Purim story, of course, is Haman. Haman was a great-great-grandson of Amalek. Because Amalek is not only an individual who comes into battle against the Jewish people in a physical sense. Amalek is that dimension which unfortunately introduces doubt into our lives. Confusion, uncertainty. Is this right? Is this wrong? Is this good? Is this bad? Is this the way I should be going? Should I have faith or, God forbid, no faith? Is fulfilling this particular journey the right way? Etc., etc. Amalek is safek, bringing distortion, non-clarity into our lives. And this is why when the month of Adar comes along, Marbin Besimcha, we have to work at bringing clarity and understanding what clarity is in our own lives. And this is where the idea of Mishpatim comes into play as well. Mishpatim are civil laws. You go through the Parsha and you see there are all sorts of laws, the laws of damages, the laws of, well, civil laws. And you say to yourself, wow, we just experienced revelation at Sinai. God himself presented himself to us. And now these laws, and the Torah says, Ve'ele, these are as important as the Ten Commandments because they give clarity in life. Judaism is so powerful that it tells us in incredible detail how to behave almost every single moment of life. From the moment that we wake up to the moment that we go to sleep, Torah tells us what to do, brings clarity into life, and that brings simcha, and that brings joy. And this is something which is so important for us to understand, because very often people say to themselves, so many mitzvot, so many Jewish laws, it's crippling, it's stifling, it limits us. No, to the contrary, it doesn't stifle, it doesn't cripple, it doesn't limit. It expands. It gives clarity. It gives purpose. It brings distinction. It brings a sense of understanding that every moment in life is precious. We don't simply sail through life randomly, but every single moment of life, every single act of life has incredible purpose, has incredible, incredible dimension of what, in fact, life is all about. Life is precious. Time is precious. Every single action is precious. And therefore, when the month of Adar comes along, this is the way we increase our joy through clarity, through the observance of mitzvot. More of that soon.
This is the Parsha HaShavua with Rabbi Mendel Lipska, only on 101.9 High FM.
We're talking about this incredible month of Adar. We're talking about the incredible Parsha of Mishpatim. And we're talking about Shkalim. In fact, this Shabbat, two Sefer Torah, two Torah scrolls will be taken out, one to read the Parsha and the other one to read the Maftir of Shkalim. And Shkalim, of course, is the half coin, the half shekel, that each and every male had to give in order for the senses and to purchase the necessary offerings, korbanot, the sacrifices, the daily sacrifices, the public sacrifices, the communal sacrifices in the temple. But something strange happened. When Moshe was given this instruction by God, he was unsure as to what the half shekel was supposed to look like. I mean, he knew what a half shekel was. Everybody knew what a half shekel was. What kind of doubt did Moshe have about the half shekel could be used for this purpose? And the answer, of course, is because as we take a look at the instruction that God gave him, he said that this half shekel will bring about atonement, forgiveness for the Jewish people. And Moshe was wondering, how could the giving of a half shekel bring about atonement? And God showed him a half shekel made out of fire. And the message, of course, was when a person does a mitzvah, such as giving a half shekel, the mitzvah of tzedakah, but he does it with fire, he does it with passion. When you do it with passion, it brings atonement, it brings forgiveness. It elevates the person. It purifies the soul. But passion is another expression of simcha, of joy. When a person does a mitzvah with passion, with excitement, this brings about a feeling of purpose, a feeling of joy. You know, we can do a mitzvah, just do it, without feeling, without excitement, but simply because we have to. We, of course, do it correctly and properly, but it does very little to us, does very little for us. But when we do it with passion, we do it with excitement, we do it with a sense of tremendous, tremendous purpose, it elevates us. And here we see the three coming together, Mishpatim, the great detail of Jewish life. The month of Adar, the month of Simcha, the month of joy, and Shkalim, passion. Each one has its own purpose, but it all comes together this year, this Shabbos. And it's important for us to understand when it comes together, each one adds to the other in great measure. The question is, how do we do it? We're told that the Sheva, the tribe, connected with the month of Adar, was the tribe of Naphtali. Naphtali was blessed by Jacob's father, that he had great speed. He did everything quickly. When a person does something with speed, with energy, there's a sense of doing it again with passion, with purpose. You have to train yourself not to be lethargic. You have to train yourself to do something with a sense of excitement. Get to it. Do it. Do it properly. And one should sense within oneself that one can't wait to fulfill the mitzvah as best one can. The tribe of Naphtali had a flag, and the color of that flag was the color of wine. Our sages tell us that wine symbolizes Torah, the study of Torah. When a person studies Torah, you have insight. You begin to understand things. One of the saddest things is people tell me, oh, we're the lost generation. We were never taught properly. We don't know. Yes, we do what we do because we're told what to do. But there is no passion. There is no excitement. We don't see the purpose. We try to be loyal. We try to stay involved. But we don't feel anything. If you want to feel, you have to study. You have to learn. And to learn the law. To learn the many laws. And also to learn the divine dimension of godliness within the world. God, creator of heaven and earth. God, who through divine providence guides every aspect of our being, recreating us at every single instant. When a person studies the Torah, the revealed and the hidden part of Torah, it not only expands one's mind, one's understanding, it elevates the individual. It exposes him to different and greater dimensions of awareness. And this is possible during the month of Adar, when the tribe of Naphtali is prominent. Again, our Kabbalists tell us that the face of Adar, the part of the face that is connected with the month of Adar, is the nose. The koach, the ability to smell. And of all the powers that we have, speech, sight, sound, the olfactory power, the power to smell, is the most spiritual, because it's directly connected to the brain, we are told. When a person faints, the smelling salt awakens it, because it goes straight to the brain. In fact, when Mashiach will come, we are told that he will be an individual who will judge by the power of fragrance, of smell. Power of fragrance is a very spiritual power. During the month of Adar, there is something spiritual present that enables us to use this divine yet physical power to become aware of greater things. But in order to use it correctly, in order to become aware of it properly, we have to prepare ourselves. And that too comes through the study of Torah, the observance of mitzvahs, and to try as much as possible to be marvin b'simcha, to be joyous. And yes, of course we have to be joyous in the most obvious sense of the word. To sing, to dance, to celebrate, to create an atmosphere of joy. I know in so many schools, during this time of the year, at break, children get together and sing and dance, and you say to yourself, is that joy? Yes, it is joy. Because by creating an atmosphere, a ruach of joy, it creates joy. But more than that, we have to remove doubt, confusion, uncertainty. Because a malik tries to invade every single aspect of our lives. Tries to inject doubt into everything. To make us confused. To take away the clarity of Torah. And this is why we cherish the Parsha of Mishpatim. We learn every single law. And we don't feel restricted or limited by this, that, or the other. We're uplifted. Hashem is telling us what to do, how to treat our employees. What happens if we light a fire in our backyard and that fire goes out of control and burns something of the next door neighbor, etc. Such mundane things are in Torah, yes, such mundane things. Can't we ourselves come up with solutions to such issues? Perhaps. But more so, society fails. We need the word of Hashem. We need the guidance of Torah. We need the insight of Torah. We need to understand how to educate children. We need laws. The image of the rebellious son never happened, but we need that image to know how to parent and where parenting fails. We have to understand all the laws that deal with interaction. How not to badmouth other people, how not to insult, how not to hurt, physically or emotionally. All these laws are contained within what people call the minutiae of Torah. It's not minutiae. It's the incredibly rich and powerful, enormous detail of Torah. You know, we often think of detail as small little things. Nothing of the sort. As life goes on, you begin to appreciate the moments of life. You know, we often think of the grand gestures of life. We forget the small things in life. A smile. A hello. A look. The small things of life are often much stronger, much greater, much more effective than the grand things of life. We don't go through life doing grand things. We go through life doing detailed things, and we have to know how to act correctly, morally, ethically, in the detail of life. When we take care of the detail of life, then the grand aspects of life become so much richer as well. Yes, there are certain faiths and religions which talk about the great faith and the great this, and they omit the detail. And we see what happened to those societies. Fell, destroyed, broken, because they didn't address the details. The 613 commandments, the mitzvot. And this is why the parsha begins, Ve'el, and these are, just as the Ten Commandments were given by God at Sinai. So every single mitzvah comes from God at Sinai. Every single mitzvah, no matter how seemingly unimportant it might appear, comes directly from Hashem. That's the joy. That's the removal of doubt. That's the ability to see with clarity what to do. Can you imagine knowing how to parent properly, how to exercise correct interaction in a relationship? All you hear about today is the chaos, the confusion. Do this, should I not? How, what, when? Everything, every alternative is out there, and nothing seems to work properly. And all we see is confusion that begets confusion. Clarity. Peace of mind. What we call in Torah language, menuchat ha-nefesh. Peace of mind. Peace of the soul. Peace of the body. A tremendous sense of clarity, of joy, of simcha. Along comes the month of Adar, and it's marbin b'simcha. There's a passion as well. It's shkalim. It's that fiery half shekel. And we do things with passion. Can't always act with passion. A person acts with passion all the time will burn out. But there are moments of passion. You study something and it clicks in your mind. You understand a divine concept. You understand the mitzvah. And you are passionate. You do a mitzvah. You help somebody. An act of charity. Or any mitzvah. You put on tefillin in the morning. You light a Shabbat candle. And you do it with a sense of passion. Perhaps not every time, but once in a while. And this is the shkolim dimension. Moshe said, a half shekel brings atonement, changes the life of a person. And Hashem says, yes, when it's given with fire. When it's given with passion. And Adar. A month of joy, a month of miracles, a month when we celebrate Purim, a month that we see that despite every effort on the part of our enemies, we survive, and not only survive, but with dignity. We survive with greatness. We are a miraculous people, unlike any other. We were to be destroyed in one day, men, women, and children, and here we are. More of that soon.
This is the Parsha HaShavua with Rabbi Mendel Lipska, only on 101.9 High FM.
We're talking about this wonderful Shabbos, the Parsha of Mishpatim, which gives us the great the great detail of Jewish life. We're talking about Shkalim, the passion, the fire of the half coin. We're talking about blessing the new month of Adar, the month of Simcha, the month of joy, which is quite incredible because it adds to our clarity, to our certainty, and gives us purpose and direction of life. We turn a little bit to the Haftarah. Haftarah tells a fascinating story. It was a sad time in Jewish history when the two halves of Israel, the north and the south, were separated. And there was a queen who was the daughter of Ahav and Izebel, Ahab and Jezebel, who were the, well, not so good king and queen of the northern part of Israel. And their daughter became the queen of the southern part of Israel. And she introduced the idolatrous faith of Baal into the southern part of Israel, which was always faithful to God. And she brought the idols into the Holy Temple. But she fell. And an infant was the one who was crowned as king. And soon thereafter, another young child became king. And as he grew up, he was extremely faithful to God and was determined to reintroduce godliness and to remove the imagery, idolatry of Baal. And he put a tax upon the people similar to the half shekel. And he used that money to, again, renovate the temple, to bring it back to its original glory. And it tells the story of great, great self-sacrifice, Mesirat Nefesh, how this young king defied the powers of the Baal worshippers and brought back the authentic faith in God into the southern part of Israel, which was controlled by the tribe of Judah. It's a fascinating story. But it's a story that tells us that, again, the power of the half shekel and the power of the faith and how all that comes together to reestablish and to renovate not only the temple, but to renovate the hearts and minds of the Jewish people. And this is what's happening. This is what's happening right now. We see a situation in the world where the hearts and minds of the Jewish people, to a large degree, being renovated. Yes, unfortunately, there are those who are falling away, misguided, lost, confused. But so many look around and say to themselves, what's going on? All this anger, all this violence, all this hate. Why? And they're saying, I have to recommit. I have to renovate my soul. I have to renovate my heart. I have to renovate my behavior. And this is the time to do it. When Mishpatim comes along, the reintroduction of the beauty of the great detail of Jewish law, where every single action means something, where every single moment carries tremendous, tremendous treasures. It's Shkalim to become passionate about Jewish life, to become excited about fulfilling the will of God. To look at a mitzvah instead of saying, ah, it's a burden, to say, wow, what a privilege. And the month of Adar, to actually increase joy, not only in the simple sense of the word, but in the more profound sense of the word. And it all comes together on the Shabbos. And this is why this Shabbos is so very important. It's a Shabbos that tells us great things are possible. Not only are great things possible, but great things are possible for each and every one of us. The word Adar also means strength. It can mean garments as well. Strength and garments. A strength that is coupled with dignity. It speaks about the strength of God. It speaks about God clothing himself, so to speak, in garments. Hashem gives us strength. And we need strength to cope with much of what's going on in the world today. And Hashem clothes himself, so to speak. What do clothes represent? Clothes represent the act of appearing to someone else. You clothe yourself appropriately. Hashem is doing just that. He's introducing certain factors into the world. And he's saying to each and every one of us, now is a time to act and make choices. Now is a time to see the strength that you possess. Now is a time to see your greatness. Now is a time to see what you can do. And when things come at a certain time, and we look into Torah, we look into what's happening from a Jewish perspective, we begin to understand why things happen and what we have to do. We shouldn't, sit back and as spectators just observe what's happening in the world. We have to become involved. We have to become active members of bringing about the change through our own behavior. And this is the Shabbos, when it all comes together. So when you're in shul tomorrow, and you listen to the reading of the parsha, you'll be fascinated by the range of laws that are covered. And listen carefully, because somebody's going to talk to you. Listen to the Haftarah, it's a fascinating story. It's told to us rather quickly, but it was a huge shift, politically, religiously, in every sense of the word, a huge shift in the Holy Land. When you bless the month of Adar, put a smile on your face, because it's going to remind you that we have to, increase our joy. It's a wonderful Shabbos. A great many things are happening. Use it. Take advantage. Take this Shabbos. Make it your own. Use the Parsha. Use the Haftarah. Take the second Torah and listen to the special Parsha of Shkalim. Even Moshe had his doubts for a moment, but God said, put some fire into it. Put some passion into it. Do that as well. It all comes together in a miraculous sort of way. Good Shabbos.